Three brushstrokes of red paint on a black background. Inception Film Partners. A monochrome flower on a black background. Camellia Entertainment. At a nursing home.
Dad? What is it? What is it you want? Ginger ale? Do you want a ginger ale, Dad?
He can't have that.
Why not? The other nurse didn't say anything.
Well, I'm saying something. Carbonation. It's bad form.
Do you really think it matters?
Yes, I do.
The screen fades to black.
We tried, Dad.
Briefcase in hand and dressed in a suit, shirt and tie and jumper, 60-year-old everyman Nolan Mack walks out of the nursing home and makes his way to his tired Mercedes. He unlocks the door and gets in. Robin Williams stars in Boulevard with Kathy Baker, Roberto Aguirre, Giles Matthey, Eleanor Hendricks and Bob Odenkirk. Nolan drives through the darkness. Streetlights illuminate his downcast demeanour. His dour expression doesn't show a flicker of change as he drives through the city. Nolan stares fixedly at the road ahead. Driving aimlessly, he finds himself in an unfamiliar part of town. A smattering of prostitutes and rent boys are dotted along the sidewalk. He glances over in their direction as he passes them. Nolan slows down as a wheelchair user crosses in front of his car. Showing little emotion, he watches the disabled prostitute take up her position on the sidewalk. Nolan picks up a little speed and flicks glances at the prostitutes and rent boys hanging about on the pavement. The screen goes black. Lying in bed alone and already awake, Nolan switches off his alarm. He rubs his eyes, pulls back the duvet and swings his legs out of bed. Dressed in pyjamas, the world-weary everyman sits on the edge of his bed and lets out a heavy sigh. He ponders. Nolan brushes his teeth and rinses his mouth out with water. He dries his mouth with a white hand towel and looks at his cleanly shaven, worn face in the bathroom mirror. Thoughtful, he stares at his reflection for a moment and his heart sinks a little. Nolan walks into his wife's bedroom.
Hey.
Hey.
You awake?
Sorta.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Who is that guy? Somebody. Did you use the chamomile?
Of course. Is this any good? New York Times didn't care for it too much.
I like the first one better.
I'm sure. Hey, have a good day.
You too.
Hey, don't forget to pick up the wine for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
See ya.
See ya.
Nolan's at work in a small bank.
It all looks very good. You're gonna be just fine.
I can't believe we just bought a house.
I feel like a writer's cramp.
It is a lot. I just need to get the manager to sign this, and you can start picking out furniture. Be right back.
Nolan gets up and leaves the two men sat at his desk and makes his way into his manager's office.
You can please sign this. We'll be done over there.
Hanson and McKay. God is gonna strike me dead for this one. Nolan, Are you happy?
Excuse me?
Are you happy?
I guess as much as anyone, you know.
I mean here at your job, our bank.
Of course.
They can wait. There's no rush for the two over there. I mean, you've been here at this branch, what, 25 years now, right?
Almost 26.
Impressive.
Thank you.
Must have thought about making a change from time to time.
I've been here a long time. I know the people, the customers, they're, you know.
You know, there's a job coming up at the Belvedere Park branch. You'd be branch manager, like me. A bump in pay, some perks. You'd be running the show. You interested?
Well, it's a big surprise. I mean,
well, it all hinges on Ralph Blyden, of course.
Regional president?
Yes. I talked you up and he'd like to meet. He suggested dinner at his home. Something intimate. Me, my wife, Gloria, you and your wife,
Joy?
Joy,
yeah. Joy, sure, of course. Don't mind them.
Okay.
My secretary will contact you with the date and details. And we'll see where it goes. And don't look so worried.
Okay.
This will be good for you. It's a good thing.
Of course. Thank you. I'll head back.
Of course.
At home that evening, Nolan takes a casserole out of the oven and checks it.
Ah, oh, perfect. Just need another 30 minutes.
Oh. All we have to do now is let the wine breathe and we're good to go.
The wine, I completely forgot. Oh, damn it.
Oh, no, if we don't have a reasonable Cabernet for Winston, he'll pout all the way through dessert. I'll go out and grab one.
Oh, you don't have time to go to the wine store, Nolan.
I'll hit the mini-mart around the corner.
Nolan.
Babe, I know. Only the best for the professor, please.
Oh, but hurry, please.
Of course.
This kid was an English comp grad student, and he asked me who Rushdie was.
Grad student?
Yeah. Patty was there, right? And I considered weeping publicly, but then I thought, what the hell? And I just said, well, he's an archaeologist or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I think that you said he was an astronaut.
I said he was an astronaut, the last astronaut on the moon. Well, this food was excellent, and the company's even better, and this wine was undoubtedly $7.99.
Really, it's a good week. I was wondering how long it would take you to notice.
Well, I have a theory about fine wine, which is that nobody really knows or even likes it. Or opera, or
foreign movies.
No, 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 no.
Yes. No, but Joy, this meal has been very delicious. Thank you. I think it's just the fourth glass of your fine wine that's finally gotten to him.
I'm fine. Yeah. Was that too loud?
No.
Oh, good.
You're good.
Well, would one of you blow into the tube in my car so I can start it?
I can't take credit for this delicious meal. It's Nolan who's the cook. Oh. I just supervise.
Well, it's very good, Nolan.
Oh, nice job. Joy, I saw that you're reading that new Hopkins novel.
You know, I'm gonna finish it, but I'm not a fan.
Okay, but before you damn it, know this. He's a pretentious twat.
Oh my God.
I think Joy would say it a little more demurely, but
yes,
thank you.
I imagine that she would.
Yeah, well, I don't do demure, all right? No. I mean, I read it on our cruise, and if I wasn't afraid it was an environmental hazard, I would have tossed it overboard.
How was that cruise? That was Alaska, right?
Yeah.
It was 6 days gliding through the ice. The only thing missing was a whale blubber.
Come on. You loved it.
As long as you were standing between me and Alaska, it was beautiful.
Yes. It was very romantic. It was very nice.
We should think about a cruise sometime.
Yeah?
Yeah?
That'd be great.
Wait, whoa. Nolan, take a vacation? What? Am I missing something?
It's not unheard of, you know?
The bank of yours will likely collapse, which is what it's likely going to do when you take that promotion. What is it, branch manager at Belvedere Park, huh? Mm-hmm. Swanky, as the kids say, and that deserves yet another toast.
Mm. Belvedere Park?
Yeah.
or not.
So good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody stole my sleeve. Get the little boy in his jacket. Wonder. And make sure my mittens are still attached.
Take care.
See you, buddy. It's great to meet you.
So nice to meet you.
Great to meet you. Come again, okay?
I hope I can.
Okay, bye. Look at his hat. Put his hat on for him. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
She's good.
That's sweet, really.
Yeah, young, but she's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get the dishes.
Nolan walks into the kitchen.
So when were you gonna tell me about the promotion?
Well, Winston was a little premature.
Yeah, well, you told him, but not me.
Well, you know Winston and I, we were just talking and boom. Get it. Hello? Yes. I'll be right there.
What is it?
At the nursing home.
A cardiac event in a stroke patient isn't that unusual. The good news is, we caught it in time. If you'd like to see him, he can only be for a few minutes. He needs his rest.
It's okay. I'd rather let him get his rest then. I'll visit when it's more appropriate.
Are you all right?
Of course. I'll come back.
He walks away. Nolan's father lies sleeping peacefully with an oxygen tube up his nose. Introspective, Nolan drives across the city, The lights from the buildings illuminate the mild-mannered man navigating the quiet, empty roads. Nolan looks fleetingly at an indoor swimming pool enveloped in a turquoise glow. He turns his attention back to the road ahead. Despondent, he drives through an undesirable part of town and flicks glances at the hustlers lingering on the street. Nolan's car slows to a stop. Sullen, he watches the prostitutes in the wing mirror. A red traffic light shines in the darkness just ahead of him. Nolan stares at his mirror, transfixed by the goings-on on the street. Suddenly, Nolan does a U-turn in the road and drives back towards the prostitutes and rent boys. A young man wearing low, slung jeans crosses the road. Nolan's car crawls slowly past the hustlers.
Yo!
Jesus!
Watch where you're going!
God!
Fucking asshole. Jeez.
Nolan winds down his window.
God, are you all right? I just didn't see you coming across the street there, you know? Just like I have this fear of phobia hurting people, you know, and...
Just...
Sorry, I just... a little distracted by all this... You know, it's...
What, you want to give me a ride?
Excuse me?
Asked if you want to give me a ride.
Sure.
Okay.
Sorry, I just wasn't paying attention. I had to look at it. I'm glad you're okay, because I have this fear of hurting people. So where would you like me to take you?
All right, so you're going to pull in there. You blow me, it's 100. I blow you, it's 150 more... We can do that, but we just need to move out of here. Okay.
Yes, of course. What?
What?
Just a bit,
What, you have a wife?
Yes. Why?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
You need to drive.
What?
You need to drive now. Drive the fucking car.
Evading the police, Nolan drives away. He pulls up outside a motel. A handwritten sign on the reception door reads 3 hours minimum. Nolan makes his way to the front desk.
Like a room for $60. Thank you.
The young dark-haired guy waits in the car. Nolan opens a motel room door and walks inside, followed by the young hustler who shuts the door behind him. An awkwardness lingers between them.
It's a little strange for me.
The hustler draws the curtains. Nolan clocks the coffee maker on the side.
Guess we can make some coffee. You want some coffee?
No, I'm good.
How long do we have here?
An hour. No, it's up to you.
It's complimentary with the room, I guess. I'll make it.
Guarded, the rent boy watches Nolan faffing about with the coffee machine.
I used to like being in motels when I was a little kid. It was kind of neat just being somewhere else. Like... Oh, my barista days are numbered. It was fun, you know, just being somewhere else. Where are you from?
Ohio. Oh. Dayton.
Looking in the mirror, Nolan spots the young guy pulling his T-shirt off his slender body and undoing his belt.
You don't need to do that.
Why?
You're fine just the way you are, Bill.
Nolan smiles, leaving him confused.
Okay. Hey. It's your time.
Yeah.
Driving
home? Of course, I don't know if there's a smoking room, but look at this. I guess you can't. No.
So what, you want to touch me? What are you going to do here?
I don't even know your name.
Leo.
I'm Nolan. That's my mother's maiden name. She died 6 months ago. I was holding her hand. I swear she was just like... People leave, you know, but some people just doesn't seem fair.
Nolan looks at Leo. They hold each other's gaze for a moment. Then Leo averts his dark brown eyes. Nolan contemplates. He takes his wallet from his back pocket.
I'd like to give you more if that's okay.
Money?
Yeah. In the car, you mentioned some numbers and, you know, I'd like to pay you more.
Nolan stares intensely at him. In the car...
So why are you married?
I love her.
You love her?
Yeah. I do.
You can just drop me off where you found me.
Is there a way I can reach you?
Well, I shut off my cell phone, but you can always find me where you did. Or you can give me your number if you want.
I'd like that.
They share awkward half glances. Nolan pulls over in the spot on the street where he picked Leo up. Leo opens the door.
Thank you, Leo.
He gets out of the car and leans back in through the passenger window.
So I should call you?
Yes, please.
Nolan watches Leo return to the other hustlers, then slowly pulls away. Nolan drives towards the city. A little later, he pulls up outside his house in a quiet suburban neighbourhood. Rows of flowers line his front path, and the lawn is neatly trimmed. Nolan peers into Joy's bedroom. With his wife asleep with all the lights on, he creeps in and switches off her television. Nolan walks over to his wife's bedside. Holding a book in her hand, she lies fast asleep under a patchwork quilt. Contemplative, he watches her sleeping. Then, trying not to wake her, he carefully moves the book away and puts it on the bed beside her.
Oh. How's your father?
He'll be okay. Go back to sleep, all right? Mm-hmm.
Joy falls back to sleep. Day. Nolan is in a coffee shop with Winston. He looks over at a loved-up young couple snuggled up at one of the tables.
They're all so young.
Savages. You give them a book, they're going to look for the on-off switch. And back in our day, we used to walk a mile across campus with 12 pounds of books on our backs.
Yeah, and then the railroad came to town.
It was a great day. Hey, look who's here.
Yeah, of course he's here. It's Tuesday, isn't it? Nolan, thank you so much for dinner the other night. It's very nice.
Of course.
I told Liz to bring over some tiramisu for you guys.
Yeah, okay, yeah? But we gotta get going.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, well, Nolan, nice to see you. And hello to Joy, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. You've been with her 4 months now. What, is that a record for you?
Yeah, well, she wants to move to New York after graduation. She'll outgrow it. Huh. Once she realizes I'm not the only guy who knows who Rushdie is. Remember how bad I wanted us to move to New York? Winston and Nolan taking on the Big Apple. I was going to write the great American novel. You were going to pay our rent, working on Madison Avenue, selling underpants to anyone who'd buy them.
Yeah, I remember.
But then you found Joy, literally, so. Time's funny, right?
Yeah.
Take it easy, buddy.
See ya.
Thoughtful, Nolan walks over to his car. Later at work, Nolan is sat at his desk in his small booth, looking through paperwork. His mind elsewhere, he checks his mobile phone.
Expecting a call?
Oh, no. Yes, well, I guess, yeah.
Hell of a lot of answers for such a simple question. Okay.
Nolan hurriedly puts the phone away in a desk drawer. Evening. Nolan is sat at his desk whilst a cleaner finishes hoovering and a security guard switches off the main lights.
Night, Mr. Mack.
Good night, Walt.
Alone in the bank, Nolan closes the file he's been working on and takes a phone from the inside pocket of his pale grey suit jacket. He makes a call.
Hey, listen, I'm really swamped at work here, and the only way to get through it is if I stay late. Sorry, I'm gonna miss dinner, but I'll be home as soon as I can, okay? Yeah, no, don't wait up late. Okay. You too.
With a heavy heart, he hangs up the phone and sighs. Nolan scans the pavement as he drives through the undesirable part of town where he first picked Leo up. Nolan smiles as he spots Leo hanging out with a pimp at the side of the road.
Hey, Leo!
That's your boy? That's your faggy, old faggy.
Tracy!
Wanna give me a ride?
Yes.
Transfixed by Leo, Nolan watches him get into the passenger seat. Uneasy, he shoots a look at the pimp left at the roadside. Nolan drives away, and the pimp walks off. Contented, Nolan smiles and reaches for something.
I got you something.
He passes Leo a bag.
For what?
For you.
Leo opens the bag and takes out a brand new mobile phone.
It's a prepaid phone for you.
I have a phone.
I thought you said it was shut off.
No, it's good.
Well, I gave you my number, remember? Either way, you can use it. You know, I put my number in it. Just in case, so now you can't forget.
Nolan smiles. Bemused, Leo tries to make sense of the gesture.
So you're gonna go somewhere again?
Nolan smiles unassumingly. They pay another visit to the motel. Nolan walks out of the bathroom and is taken aback to find Leo stood naked.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Nolan stares at his slender, naked body.
So you want to suck my cock or what do you want to do?
I'd rather just look at you. You're very nice to look at. Would that be okay?
Can I sit?
Sure.
Leo sits on the bed and takes a packet of cigarettes from his jeans. Nolan gazes at him.
So what do you like, you know, besides money?
Money?
Yeah, you said you worked at a bank.
Oh, doesn't mean I like money. I mean, well, I guess sort of does. I don't know. Let me see. I like reading, movies. I like westerns.
Westerns?
Yeah. When I was a kid, my dad used to drop me off at the movies, and westerns were my favorite.
He's still alive?
Barely. He's in a nursing home. I take care of him.
Must be close.
No, not really. Unfortunately.
Why do you take care of him?
Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Intrigued, Leo stares at mild-mannered Nolan, who sits watching him from across the room, still dressed in his work clothes.
I missed you, Leo.
Solemn, Leo doesn't look at him. Nolan arrives home and, trying not to wake his wife, he quietly makes his way up the dark stairs. Reaching the top of the stairs, he makes his way across the landing and spots Joy sat looking at the computer in the study. Nolan pokes his head in.
Hey, I didn't know you'd be up.
Why? It's only 12:30.
Sorry, I just had so much work to sort through, you know, for the promotion. I just want to be ready.
I was just checking on Cruz's hair. God, there's so many different kinds. And it's not that expensive, considering what you get, you know? Mm. I mean, I know it's not your thing, but it could be fun. Some of them are so ridiculous. Themes and things.
You'd think we'd like a cruise.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of regimented, but it could be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I should get some sleep.
Okay. I tried to call you at the bank several times.
Well, I got tired of working there, so I went out to that all-night place, you know, over on Broadway.
The Substop?
Yeah, that's the place, yeah. The one on Broadway.
Are you sure?
Yes, why?
With sadness and doubt in her eyes, she looks at her husband.
Okay.
Good night.
At the nursing home.
So his new medication is on the table. You can give it to him when the show goes off.
Okay, thank you.
Nolan waits for the nurse to leave, then takes a bottle out of his bag.
It's been sitting all day. There's no carbonation. Even Nurse Mengler would approve. You got that? Apparently I can get the chair for this, so let's keep it between us, okay?
Nolan helps his father to take a drink, then sets it down on his bedside table and hides the ginger beer bottle back in his bag. Nolan sits in the armchair and looks at his father, lying in an unresponsive state. Nolan drives across town. His brow knitted, he stares at the road ahead. His heart sinks as he catches sight of the Substop and the sign outside it, which reads closed for renovation. Nolan and Joy are watching TV.
Since the Ellington is considered the Super Bowl of high school jazz competitions, there are six charts they put out every year of new Ellington transcriptions.
Sat apart from his wife, Nolan checks his watch.
Yeah!
Nolan quickly grabs his phone and looks at a new message from Leo. You there?
I got the word yesterday afternoon.
Nolan glances at Joy, who's glued to the TV, then texts back. With wife. Call later. Transfixed by the program, Joy doesn't notice him sending the text message. Sheepish, Nolan puts down the phone. Joy shoots a furtive sideways glance at him, and Nolan sighs. Nolan glances at his phone. Sat up in bed, Nolan checks his phone. The alarm clock on his bedside table reads 2:30. Brooding, he stares at the screen. Morning. Nolan lies fast asleep in bed, clutching his phone. Curious, Joy makes her way across the landing to her husband's bedroom and peers in.
Nolan.
Getting no response, she walks in.
Nolan.
She walks over to his bedside.
Nolan. Aren't you late?
Huh? Oh, my God.
Joy and Nolan both look at the mobile phone. Nolan parks up outside the bank. He grabs his briefcase and makes his way in. Nolan strides over to his desk.
Hey, you all right?
Oh, I'm sorry, I overslept.
Okay, well, you had a client waiting for you. Luckily, John here covered for you.
Well, I'm so sorry. Thank you.
Let's try not to let this happen again.
You got it. Of course.
It's not like you anyway.
Yeah.
Holding it together, Nolan sits at his desk and quickly checks his phone. Finding no message, he slips it back into his jacket pocket and starts work. Time passes. People come and go at the bank. Staff go about the humdrum day. Sat at his desk, Nolan appears distracted. He watches his boss walk out, then picks up his mobile and slips out of the bank through the back exit. Troubled, Nolan puts his phone to his ear and anxiously waits for an answer.
Hey, where were you? I waited all night. I thought you'd call. Nolan, you know? Listen, my wife has dinner with a friend tonight, and I thought maybe I could see you, you know? We could get something to eat or something, and of course I'll pay you, if that's okay. Is that okay? Okay, then. Okay. See ya.
Uneasy, he hangs up. That night, he dines with Leo in a smart restaurant.
Not bad, huh?
He smiles at Leo sat opposite him. Uncomfortable, Leo looks round at the other diners.
You bring your wife here?
Once, a long time ago.
I went to a place like this back home.
In Dayton?
Yeah. My mother took me for one of my birthdays. It wasn't as good. It was nice.
Sure it was. So why did you leave Dayton?
I don't know. My mother was dating another asshole. Maybe it's like what you said about the motels. You know, it's just like, I want to be somewhere else, you know? I don't know.
Sometimes it's nice to be somewhere else. I'm gonna go use the facility. I'll be right back. Okay.
Nolan? Yeah. What a surprise.
Dan.
Gloria, you remember Nolan Mack, don't you? At the bank mixer last month.
Hello, Nolan.
Gloria, good to see you again.
Must be a big occasion. Yes. Is Joy here? I'll say hello.
Oh, no, I'm here with her wife's nephew, my wife's nephew. It's her sister's boy, Leo.
Oh, must be your favorite nephew.
Yes.
Well, it was nice to see you, Nolan.
You too, Dan. Gloria?
Our best to your wife.
Curious, Dan shoots a look at Leo as he sits down with his wife at their table. Unsettled, Leo casts his eye around the restaurant. After dinner, Nolan drives Leo back to his house in a rundown neighborhood. He pulls over, and Leo gets out.
Can I come in?
Leo ponders his request.
Another time. Sure.
Okay, of course.
Nolan watches his young friend, who's dressed in jeans and a hooded jacket, as he makes his way to the door. As Leo puts his key in the lock, a man approaches him.
Hey, princess. Where's my mom?
Why now?
You went out.
Yeah.
Where the fuck are you going out?
Huh? I just went out.
Hold still. Now listen, you know I hate doing this, princess. But you chose this line of work. I'm gonna ask you one more time. Where's my fucking money?
I don't have any money.
No! Did you just fucking lie to me? Is that what just happened? Then where's my fucking money? I just seen you with that faggot, so I know you got some.
No, I don't.
Fuck. Did you just fucking lie to me twice in a row? Did you just fucking lie to me twice in a row? Did you just lie to me twice in a row? Fuck. So you two faggots, you were just on a date. You were just talking. Hmm? You were just out on a fucking date, motherfucker. I don't believe anything. Fuck. What else you got? Nothing. I don't fucking believe you. Now, what's this? Woo! Hey, where'd you get this fancy-ass phone, princess? Now, listen, I want my money. And I want it right fucking now! It's fucking now!
Hey! Just leave him alone!
Leave him alone!
Oh, shit! Look who it is! Hell, let's hear what she has to say.
I'm calling the police.
Hell, fuck. You go right ahead. I think that's a fucking great idea. I'll tell him how this old faggot is paying my young whore to suck his old chicken hawk dick. Now, my new phone of yours, which one?
Hey, what do you want? Please, you want money? I have cash, okay? How much to leave him alone?
Now we're talking, what, you got some money?
Yeah, here, please. Here you go, it's $150 right there. Just take it all, and just leave him alone, okay? Please.
You fucking hell. Go on, pick that shit off me. Oh, my goodness.
Nolan frantically picks up the cash and offers it back to the pimp.
Just leave him alone. Leave the phone.
The phone?
Yeah.
Hey, oh, fuck. You can keep the fucking thing. I already got my own anyway. Bitch. I mean, I'm real glad we can sort this out like a couple of dogs. It was real cool.
Violent, you entered everything?
The pimp stops in his tracks and looks back at him. He laughs to himself, then saunters over to Nolan, who holds his nerve despite his unease.
Honey, I'm sorry. Ah! Yes, it is. You fucking faggots.
He walks away. Leo sits on the edge of his bed with Nolan in a dimly lit flat. A trickle of blood runs from his nose.
Oh, still bleeding. There.
Yeah.
All right. We may need to go to a doctor. Hey, come on now. Shh, shh. There you go.
Just let me hold it.
Okay.
You're gonna have a black eye tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you think your wife is gonna say?
Don't know. Come on, lie back on the pillow, okay? Just lie back.
I don't wanna.
Come on. Come on. There you go. Keep applying pressure, okay? See if there's something to make sure you don't get infected.
Nolan walks into the tiny bathroom off the bedroom, leaving Leo on the bed holding a blood-soaked flannel to his nose. Nolan looks at his reflection in the mirror. Signs of his black eye is starting to show.
Doesn't look that bad.
It's worse.
Really? 6 years old, my first shiner.
Nolan takes a look in the sparsely stocked bathroom cabinet.
Do you have any antiseptic or peroxide? Do you?
He steps back into the bedroom to find Leo sleeping. He watches the vulnerable young man. Nolan sits down on the edge of the bed and carefully removes the blood-stained flannel from Leo's hand. Nolan watches him sleeping.
I'm gonna leave, okay?
If you want.
Wistful, Nolan stares at Leo. A full moon hangs in the dark night sky. Neon strip lights hang above each door of Leo's rundown apartment block. Nolan lies fast asleep in the fetal position on the bed beside Leo, their clothed bodies almost touching. He slowly wakes and, bleary-eyed, checks his watch. Nolan sits up and looks at the alarm clock on the bedside table, 4:03.
Oh,
Nolan puts his key into the lock and opens his front door. He slips into the dark hall. The lights are still on in Joy's bedroom and her bedside clock reads 4:20. Hearing the door, she glances at the clock and listens as Nolan climbs the stairs. Nolan lingers for a moment at the top of the stairs. Troubled and saddened, Joy lies in bed listening to her husband creeping along the landing to his bedroom. The next morning, Nolan is sat at a table in a cafe. He stares pensively into space. Winston walks in.
Hey. Oh, my God, Nolan, what happened?
Attractive, huh?
What the hell happened?
Well, there was a filing cabinet, you know, Q through S jammed, and I don't know my own strength.
That has to be the worst excuse I've ever heard, and I'm in a position to hear a lot of them. Did the dog eat your homework as well?
I can't fool you, can I?
No, you can't. So what happened? What, were you out fighting crime in your secret life?
There it is. You figured it out. Oh, I forgot. Is Patty hiring anybody, right now at the restaurant? Yeah.
You know, there's a thing called a segue. It gets you from one topic to the next one. You look into it.
Oh, listen, it's for a relative of a friend. You know, a kid needs a break. I'm just trying to help somebody out.
Yeah, I can ask, I guess. I should have some sway with the management here, I assume.
Thank you.
Yeah, you sure you're okay?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I'm great.
At home.
So they're calling him the new Updike. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. He's too sentimental.
Sometimes, I guess.
No, he is. What he gets ultimately just seems faked. Or as Winston would say, like horseshit. Where's that man when we need him? What?
Wistful, Nolan stares at his wife.
You should be teaching.
I do teach, 3 nights a week.
Yeah, you. The university, you know what I'm saying.
Filing cabinet? Seriously?
It's just a stupid accident.
Well, for now. English as a second language 3 nights a week is plenty for me. Mm. Believe me, I don't miss the politics. Do you want something to drink?
No, I'm fine. How was your dinner last night with Kat?
Well, you know Kat. We just talked about that ESL conference we have to spend the whole weekend at. We tried to go to that sub shop on Broadway, but it's closed. Did you know that?
She walks off into the kitchen, leaving a guilt-ridden Nolan to contemplate his deceit. Downcast, Nolan lies in bed awake, lost in thought. The display on the digital alarm clock on his bedside table reads 11:11. Unable to sleep, he swings his legs out from beneath the duvet and sits on the edge of the bed. Joy is sat up in bed in her room, watching television.
Ah non, non, ça fait chier. Tu as tort, tu sais. Bof, après tout, fais comme tu veux.
Hey.
Moi, je te dis que tu ne trouveras jamais une solution individuelle.
Masculin, féminin.
Il faut se bagarrer, et à force d'être dans les luttes, on finit par apprendre.
Toi, the children of Marx and Coca-Cola.
Certainement.
Écoute quand même, tu viens trop d'avoir des problèmes de femme.
Remember?
Of course I do. Winter of 1977. We saw it at the Fine Arts. You, in your exquisite way, you explained the entire movie to me, scene by scene. I'm sure the rest of the people in the cafe love that, but it's kind of wonderful.
Nolan turns to his wife and they share a warm smile. As he turns his attention back to the television, Joy's smile slips and a sadness befalls her.
The restaurant? Sub stop. Sorry I lied about it.
I know.
You always watch this.
Because it's you.
He glances back at her and smiles. Nolan is sat at his desk in the bank, looking over a pile of papers. His phone buzzes and he eagerly picks it up.
Hey.
Hey. That friend of yours who manages the restaurant, she called me.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's gonna try me out. She says I need a white shirt and black pants. I have black jeans, but I think she means a button-up shirt.
Oh, sure she does. Tell you what, when I get out today, I'll come get you and we'll go get you some.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Unable to hide his delight, Nolan smiles. He struggles to refocus on his monotonous work. Night. In his small apartment, Leo stands in front of a mirror, doing up the buttons on a new white shirt. Nolan watches him, his eyes full of kindness.
Guess I should go.
Nolan takes out his wallet.
No, that's okay.
No, we have our rules.
Leo looks uncomfortable as Nolan hands him some cash. After a brief hesitation, Leo takes it.
See ya.
So how come we don't do more?
Oh, we do enough. It's...
Oh, you know, I mean, like, sex.
I don't know.
It's because you have a wife?
Maybe.
And this isn't cheating?
Yeah, it probably is. I should get going.
Wait, here, I got you something. It's no big deal. I just found it, you know, over by the video store.
A Western?
Yeah.
You found it?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's for you. They only had VHS, so...
That's all right. I'm sure I have a machine somewhere that can play this. Oh, thank you, Leo.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, it is. It's...
Leo's touched by Nolan's reaction. Nolan saddens.
Okay, then. Thanks.
Leo goes to speak, but Nolan leaves. The next day, Nolan is sat at his desk in the bank. Winston's girlfriend, Patty, walks in and stands in the queue for the cashier. She spots Nolan. He looks at her and she waves awkwardly. After a brief hesitation, she makes her way over to him.
Hi, Nolan.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Hey.
Is the madman around?
No, he's... Look, Nolan, I'm sorry, but that young man, your friend's son, he didn't show up today.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know how busy it gets there at lunch, and one of my guys was out, so it really put me in this tough situation, because, you know, I was depending on him.
I'm so sorry. It won't happen again. I'll call him right away, you know, and...
No, don't worry about that. It's all right. You know, I gave him a chance, and I gotta do what's best there, you know? It's my job, so... I'm sure that you understand. Oh,
please, of course. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You gave him a shot.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry too, Nolan. All right.
See you.
I'll see you.
Nolan's polite smile slips as she walks away. That evening, he knocks at Leo's door.
Who is it?
Me.
Who?
Nolan.
I can't right now. You need to come back.
I need to talk to you, Leo.
I can't right now.
I'd really like to talk.
What are you doing? We can talk about this later.
Aren't you supposed to be somewhere?
What?
Restaurant? My friend, she gave you a job. She wasn't particularly happy about you not showing up.
Shit, I forgot. Look, we'll talk about this later, okay?
No! We're gonna talk about it now.
What are you doing?
I went out on a limb for you. That was my best friend's girlfriend. What the hell is this?
Look, man, I don't want no problems.
Listen, you need to go. You have no right to be here.
Right? Really? What gives him the right to be here? What? Is he paying you too?
Okay, you gotta go, like, right now. Or I'm fucking calling the police, okay?
No, you're calling the police.
Yeah, I am. Now get out of my house.
House? What kind of house is this? It's a dump. It's a cesspool.
Then get out of it!
Okay, listen, I'm sorry, okay? I didn't mean that.
No.
I'm just saying, okay, you don't need to have these people in your life.
Okay? No!
You don't need to be doing this.
No!
Okay!
Okay, get the fuck out of my house!
Got it, I'm sorry! All right. I'm sorry, all right? Listen, I'm just trying to help you and...
Leo shuts the door in Nolan's face. Dejected, he contemplates, then deciding not to pursue it, he reluctantly walks away. Nolan steps out of the lift at his father's nursing home and makes his way to his room. He walks into his father's dimly lit room. Nolan lays his jacket over the chair in the corner and puts down his briefcase. Lying in a comatose state, his father stares blankly at a television on the wall. Nolan opens a can of ginger beer and pours some into a glass on the bedside table.
I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you about something, Dan, okay?
He switches off the TV.
And I need you to listen. Because I know somewhere in there you can hear me. Talk about that time I went to the beach. summer of 1965, I think it was. And we checked into this little motel, 12 years old. You, me, and Mom. If you had any idea what a journey that was, still sticks with me to this day. Ridiculous. Something happened that summer, Dad. First, I couldn't figure it out. I didn't want to. But I knew. I knew that all the wishing and praying in the world couldn't change the fact that I was gay. And I didn't do anything about it. I didn't tell you, Mom, or anyone. It was my secret. And suddenly, I'm 60 years old. It's like I'm still there, like nothing happened. Like I'm still waiting for something I felt was promised to me that day. Something that never came. And I'm angry about it. And I'm still sitting on that beach, and I'm still 12 years old, and nothing's changed. I'm still sorry about it.
His eyes wet with tears, Nolan stares into space, lost in thought.
That was some summer. And that.
Full of regret, Nolan picks up the ginger beer and puts the straw to his father's lip. The elderly man turns his head away, making his feelings clear to his son. Composed in the face of his father's disregard, Nolan sits. Nolan's father doesn't look at him.
Okay.
Nolan sits at his father's bedside, deep in thought. Later, he creeps into his wife's bedroom. Her bedside light is on, but she's sleeping soundly. Nolan makes his way over to her. He stands beside her, watching her sleeping. He tentatively leans over to her, but has a change of heart. She wakes and reaches out her hand to him.
Hey, you.
Nolan holds her hand.
I was just checking on you. Go back to sleep, okay?
Stay here, please.
Their hands still entwined, Nolan sits down on the edge of her bed.
I was thinking about the cruise, you know, and I was wondering, what month do you think would be good for us?
Do we really want to go on a cruise?
Yeah, I thought...
Hey, we'll talk about it.
No, stay here with me tonight. Please. Just for tonight.
Nolan lies down and she snuggles in behind him and holds him tightly. Spooning, the couple lie physically close, but a massive emotional void runs between them in the drawn-out silence.
Who is it?
What do you mean? Just someone I talk to.
You could talk to me.
I know.
We have separate beds, separate lives, separate rooms. I don't know how much more separate we could be.
I should go wash up.
You too.
Content, Joy snuggles into the nape of his neck with her eyes closed. Uncomfortable, Nolan stares into space, lost in thought. In the morning, Nolan wakes alone in bed, still dressed in his suit from the day before. He quickly sits up.
Joy? Joy? Hey, Joy? Joy? Hey.
Hey.
Where are you going?
The ESL conference, remember? Oh. Kat, of course, is an hour early.
As always.
Early bird gets free donuts and coffee. Hey, Nolan. Long time no see.
Hey, Kat. Good to see you.
And thanks for letting me borrow your wife here. I put the number where we're going to be right there, so call if you need me. Otherwise, we're good to go.
Same place, Savannah Stud Farm?
Yeah, you told him. Bye-bye, Nolan. I'll be outside. Okay.
So call me if you want to talk. We'll be back Sunday afternoon. Uh-huh. Oh, and the crew sent a DVD. If you want to take a look at it, I put it by the TV.
Of course.
Okay. Bye, Nolan.
See ya.
Glum-faced, Nolan contemplates. Nolan takes a shower in his bathroom. His white shirt hangs on the bathroom cabinet. His phone buzzes with an incoming call. A message on the screen reads, "Call from Leo." The call disconnects and the message on the screen changes to, "Two missed calls from Leo." Downstairs in the living room, Nolan, who's wearing pyjamas and a dressing gown, slips the cruise DVD into the machine and sits down on the sofa. He looks at the missed calls message on his phone, but makes the decision to switch the device off rather than listen to them. He chucks the phone down on the coffee table. Downcast, he picks up the remote and switches on the promotional cruise DVD and apathetically watches it.
Spend your days visiting the ancient islands, walking around the white sand, or shopping at local markets.
Nolan's eyes are full of sadness. With a heavy heart, he switches off the television and hangs his head, sinking into a depressed state. Day. Winston strides into the busy bank and makes his way over to Nolan's desk.
Nolan! What the hell? Oh
God, you're kidding. Our lunch. I'm so sorry. Beaumont's got me prepping for this promotion, and I've been all over the place.
What's going on?
I'm sorry.
Sorry, so but what's happening? Because I can't tell, you know? I mean, you had the black eye that you didn't want to discuss. You asked me to get a job for a friend of a relative, and he never shows up. Can we go for a walk or something? There's too many people doing math around here.
Of course, but everything's fine, okay?
No, everything's fine. It's just two guys talking. I mean, I bank here, so I'd be chatting with a client. It's two guys taking a walk, right? I mean, I do my banking, so.
Nolan spots Leo.
Taking a walk with a longtime customer.
Yeah, you got it, of course. Yeah.
Nolan quickly puts on his jacket.
Just give me a moment, okay?
Eddie said I had to come here.
To my work? No. No, we can't talk here.
We have to go outside.
No. We really need to go outside. Can we do that?
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Walt, we're just talking.
You okay, Mr. Mike?
I'm good. What does he want? Money? Is that what this is all about?
He knows you work at a bank.
I work here. I don't own it. Kid's an idiot.
Look, if I don't get the money, Sid'll kill me.
Oh, it's good to know.
What are you doing?
Calling the police. That's what I'm doing.
Why?
Because threatening someone's life is against the law.
No, you can't just call the police.
Why the hell not?
Because you can't. Look, if you're not going to help me, okay? I'm just going to go.
No,
just going to go.
Okay. Wait. I can't believe you're saying this. How much?
$3,200.
$3,200? Are you kidding me? You know how much money that is? Does he think I'm made of money?
Look, like I said, if you're not going to help me, then I'm just going to go.
No, wait.
Okay,
wait.
I'm just.
Is he here? Is that what this is all about? Is he here with you?
Yeah, am I fucking here? You got trouble with the ATM machine?
No, all you gotta
do is hit it and the cash comes
out. Stay right there. No, don't come any closer.
Look, he's gonna set, he's gonna...
Shut the fuck up. How many times I gotta tell you, shut your fucking mouth.
No, you really know how to overcomplicate things, you know what?
Listen, see, those people, we can't do this here, all right? You have to leave now, okay?
No, I don't think so, man. See, I just came to do some banking, so I don't see any problem in there. Mm-hmm. This is the bank, and that's what I'm here to do. Some banking.
Right, I'm not giving you a goddamn cent, you understand?
Fuck out.
Get the fuck out of here!
He was just trying to help, okay?
You two bitches trying to put it on me!
No, he's the one!
Motherfuckers!
No, no, no!
Faggots!
He's the one he attacked! He was helping! He's alright, he's okay!
No, I'll be seeing you soon, princess! No doubt about it! I'll be seeing you real soon with your retail strength and all! This ain't over! Anywhere, okay? I promise!
Just yet. Nobody goes anywhere! Come on, people, please, party's over! You alright, Mr. Mack?
I'm fine, well, I'm okay, thanks.
Okay. Let's go back inside. Come on, party's over. Back inside.
Winston.
It's all over.
This is Leo.
Shocked, Winston stares at the disheveled hustler. Leo takes a shower in Nolan's bathroom. His phone and cheap digital watch are sat by the sink. His socks are tucked inside his dirty white trainers and his clothes lie in a crumpled heap on the floor. Leo's slender frame is silhouetted against the shower curtain. Downstairs, Nolan makes a sandwich. Dressed, Leo walks in.
Hey. Figured you might be hungry.
Thank you.
Maybe I should open a diner. You can come work for me. You know, the way things are going at the bank, it's not the worst idea. You ever think about going back to school, you know? Do you have any plans besides?
I wasn't really good at school.
Well, maybe you'll be good at it this time, you know? Things change.
I don't have the money for it anyway.
Well, maybe I could help you.
Why?
I don't know, because I'd like to. Well, if you finish that, would you like another one?
Sure.
Great.
Later, Leo's watching TV with Nolan in his bedroom.
You're sent for Big Brother.
Nolan watches Leo.
Why don't I remind myself to pack a gun when I visit my neighbor? That baby's gonna need a name. Yours.
Leo catches him watching.
Come on. Pull the trigger. First you shoot me, and then you gotta shoot Huey because he saw you.
Later that night, Nolan lies in bed asleep with the lights on, still wearing his clothes. Leo wanders aimlessly into the bedroom and casts his eye around the room. Leo's eye is drawn to Nolan's wallet, sat half open on his bedside table. Conflicted, Leo stares at the wallet.
Hey. I got tired of the TV. Come here. Give me your hand. It's okay. Please. Come here.
Leo tentatively inches over to Nolan, sat on the edge of the bed.
Give me your hand.
Leo takes his hand. Nolan gets to his feet and stands before the timid hustler.
It's okay.
Nolan slips his arms around Leo, holds him tightly and relaxes into the somewhat awkward embrace. Showing no emotion, Leo doesn't hug back. Nolan relishes the moment. Nolan nuzzles into the youngster's neck and smells his skin. Leo pulls away, and looking Nolan straight in the eye, he starts unbuckling his belt.
No, please. It's okay, just this. It's okay.
Nolan hugs Leo tightly.
What is it you want?
Because I don't like this.
I'll pay you.
No, please. I just...
I don't like this, okay? Well, we're here for sex. That's what we're here for. That's what I'm here for.
I don't understand. You'll have sex with me, but you won't let me hold you?
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Doesn't make sense.
It's just how it goes, okay?
No, no. Please, please, please. No, no. No, no, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Look, you know what? I'm just gonna go.
No, no, wait, wait. Wait, I'll pay you. Okay, how much?
No, it isn't that. I just have to
go. No, no, wait. Please. It's okay.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry. I don't want to argue. It just can't be nothing, you know? It can't. Because you're here for a reason. You came here for a reason. You're in my goddamn life for a reason.
No!
No! You gave me that videotape. You told me about your mother. About leaving. It can't be nothing, Leo. Can't be nothing.
But it can be. Right? It can't be. Because it's nothing. Because it means nothing.
Hurt, Nolan stares at him, his eyes full of bitterness and sadness. The screen slowly fades to black. Leo's cigarette floats inside a glass of nicotine-stained water on Nolan's bedside table. The screen fades to black. Morning. Carrying her suitcase, Joy walks in through the front door, which has been left ajar.
Nolan?
Asleep on his bed, fully clothed, Nolan is woken by the noise.
Nolan, are you here? Nolan? Nolan, are you here?
Nolan grabs the glass and rushes to the bathroom. He throws the cigarette and water down the toilet.
Nolan?
Hey! Hey, you're back.
Yeah, the front door was open.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't hear you. You're early.
Is there a reason why the front door is open?
No, I must have left it.
I gotta go to the bathroom. I've been in the car for 2 hours.
Of course. Yeah, I watched that DVD, you know, of the cruise. We should watch it together.
She clocks the cigarette remnants in the glass.
Sure. I'll be right out.
On edge, Nolan listens outside the door. Weighed down with his guilt, Nolan sighs and hangs his head. Nolan is sat at his desk in the bank. His boss walks over to him.
All set for tomorrow night?
Mm.
My secretary get you Blyden's address, all the details?
Yes, she did.
Good. Blyden doesn't do this for everyone, Nolan.
I know, and I'm very grateful.
Are you?
Excuse me?
Listen, I don't know what went on in that parking lot or what's up. All I do know is I stuck out my neck for you in a big goddamn way. Don't make me look like an asshole. And don't you fuck this up.
Of course.
Okay, then.
Downcast, Nolan mulls over his threat. Nolan has stood in front of his bathroom mirror, fixing his tie. Dressed for dinner, Joy walks in.
What?
A single Windsor?
A little short on time here.
And you just hold still.
Mm-hmm. I remember you did this on our wedding day.
You remembered that?
Yeah. I was so nervous I couldn't even move my hand.
Okay.
Yep.
Looks good.
Thanks.
All right, you got your coat.
How are you? We should get going, you know. You know how traffic is gonna be.
I'm ready.
Okay. Oh, come on. Hello. What? When?
What's wrong?
Okay. Where? Okay, I know where that is. I'll be right there.
My God, is it Nolan? Is it your father?
Look, Joy, I'm gonna have to meet you there, okay? Listen, here's the address to Blyden's house. I'm sorry, but I'll be there as soon as I can. Something has happened, and I really need to go.
Are you kidding me? I don't even know these people.
No, Joy, please. You know Beaumont. Please, you gotta go for me, okay?
For sake.
I'll be there as soon as
I can.
For God's
sake, Nolan.
Thomas, Joy.
Nolan.
I'll be right there.
He hurries out, leaving Joy holding Blyden's address. Walking at a lick, Nolan arrives at an ER department. Wearing a concerned look, he makes his way to the reception desk.
Excuse me. We got a call about a young man picked up downtown. First name Leo.
They found him in the street. It was an overdose. No wallet, no ID.
How did you know to call me?
He had a phone. You were the only number in it. He should be in there at 2:35.
Thank you.
Nolan finds the cubicle empty.
Excuse me. Excuse me. There's no one in there.
He must have walked out on his own. It's not unusual in cases like this. Let me check to the front desk. What was your relationship to the patient again?
Nolan stares at the empty bed.
Nothing.
He finds Leo's mobile discarded on the table. Solemn, he picks it up and holds it cherishingly. At Blyden's dinner party.
I'm sure it's his father. He's been very sick.
Sat next to an empty chair in the elegant dining room, Joy holds her nerve in the awkward situation. Nolan arrives at Leo's rundown apartment building. He steps inside the tiny, unlocked flat and switches on the light to find the place has been stripped bare. Contemplative, he stands at the door and casts his eye around the empty space. Brooding, he lingers in the doorway deep in thought. With a heavy heart, Nolan turns his back on Leo's apartment, and leaving the door open, he slowly walks away. Nolan drives back to his house and parks up outside. Rows of neat pinky purple flowers line either side of the path to the front door. The lights are on inside. Nolan switches off the engine and gets out. He lets himself in and walks into the living room to find Joy sat watching TV. She hugs a cushion close to her chest. Weighed down by sadness, Nolan looks at her, but Joy keeps her eyes on the TV.
Was it your father?
No.
Nolan stares gravely at the floor.
Because that was the only excuse I was going to accept. If he was dying in your arms, maybe then.
She turns her gaze from Nolan to the TV. He turns it off.
We need to talk.
I don't want to talk.
We have to.
Well, I don't want to.
She refuses to look at him. Nolan just stands and waits. Holding back tears, Joy eventually does.
Are you going to be with him?
I don't even know where he is.
Joy hangs her head and fights hard, trying not to cry.
Why?
Because I can't lie anymore. No more lies.
You can't do this.
Joy.
Is he better than me?
It's not that, of course not.
Then what?
Joy.
You wanted to talk, so you're going to give me a goddamn answer.
I just did.
No, well, it wasn't good enough. What does he do for you that I don't?
It's not that.
Well, then what is it? Because I need to know. Does he clean your clothes for you? Does he listen to your stories, your boring fucking stories? Because I don't think he does. Does he tell you that everything's okay, even when it isn't? Because I am sure he doesn't do that.
Joy.
Did he put up with your father's demands till they piled up on him and clogged his whole goddamn life, my whole goddamn life? Oh, my God. Nolan, the arrogance of you.
You're right. Everything you're saying.
Don't goddamn accommodate me.
I'm sorry, you're right.
So now what? So what? This is it now?
don't know what to say.
What are you going to do without me? Huh? I want to know what you're going to do without me.
Joy.
What are you going to do without me? How are you going to make it? Please, you don't need to leave.
Yeah, I do.
No, please. We can make it work. We've always made
it work. It's never worked, okay?
How can you say that?
Because it hasn't. Never. I'm sorry. It's not what I wanted.
Then what is it that you want? Please, you won't even try.
Try? What do you think I've been doing all these years? Going to that job day after day, form after form, all to keep up this ridiculous pretense.
Is that what I am to you?
No,
you're not. Pretense!
No, you're not. It's just over.
No.
My God. I love you, Joy. That was never a lie. It's just time for us to be in the real world.
What if I don't want to be in the real world?
Well, I do.
Well, I don't. That's why I married you.
Stood on the stairs, they both stare into each other's eyes. The screen goes black. White clouds hang in the sky. Dressed in jeans and a fawn-coloured blazer, Nolan takes a walk with Winston.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah.
Cripes. What about your father?
I'll still visit. Some things remain, you know. I don't know. Nothing turned out the way I thought, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't know how that feels. Remember the book I was going to write and the play? The other play?
Mm-hmm.
You know, life can be funny like that. You don't have to explain anything to me. I mean, Joy's a great woman. You're my best friend. And you know what I tell my students? Every day, blank page, just fill it up and you get somewhere or something like that. Hey, there she is. You know what, I'll write to you from New York, unless they have Wi-Fi there. Do you think they have Wi-Fi?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, then I'll email you.
Thank you.
It's just two friends talking, all right?
Yeah.
Hey, maybe it's never too late to finally start living the life you really want. Maybe that's the deal.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's a bunch of bullshit. I don't know. You email me about it.
I will.
All right.
All right. See you, Nolan. Take care.
See you, Patty. You too.
Nolan hangs back and watches Winston and Patty walk off with their arms around each other. Relaxed, Nolan smiles to himself as he strolls off with his hands in the pockets of his jeans. A spiral rainbow-coloured notepad sits on someone's desk at the quiet bank. Nolan clears his desk. Composed, he puts several items into his leather briefcase and fastens up the buckles. He sits down at his desk and, holding his briefcase on his lap, he takes a short moment to reflect. Then he makes his way to the front door.
Goodbye, Walt.
Good luck, Mr. Mack. You'll be missed around here.
Thank you.
Welcome.
They shake hands and Nolan walks outside to the small parking lot. Nolan sighs contentedly. Resolute, he takes a final look around.
I drove down a street one night. A street I didn't know. It's the way your life goes sometimes. Drive down this one, then another. And now, another.
Night. Introspective, Nolan drives through the darkness with the blurred lights of the city shining through his window. Joy walks down a street alone. She steps into an independent travel agency and is greeted by one of their advisors. The two women happily chat away.
Can't stand in the way of another day, not promised.
Nolan is sat at a table in a large, spacious cafe. A man walks over to him. dressed in a casual blue shirt and jeans. Nolan smiles warmly as he gets to his feet and shakes the man's hand. The two men sit at the table together, and the screen fades to black. The end credits roll.